Welcome to Business Women Australia's radio show. I'm Sally Barker. Each week, I'll be talking with a leading member of BWA. These inspiring business leaders are very generous in sharing their stories, insights, and expertise. Joining me on the show today is Heather Warner from WCA People and Culture Solutions, proud station sponsor. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Sally, and thank you for that very lovely introduction.
My pleasure. Now, as a business consultant, you're very qualified to talk everything minimum wage and award essentials for employers. Now, how important is it for employers to understand this area of their business?
Look, the bottom line is that awards are they're legislative, they're legislation, and it's like tax. If you aren't paying your staff the correct rates, you can be fined significant amounts. So it's essential, and I think, you know, that's the stick, I suppose. But most employers that we deal with actually want to do the right thing by their workers. They're not actually wanting to pay incorrect rates, but it's just a real minefield to understand what I should be paying.
So how do you remain compliant as an employer?
There's lots of websites, and I guess some of that information is, it's very readily accessible, but I suppose it's sometimes a bit of a minefield to actually understand. I think the first thing is to understand exactly what award I'm covered by, and in fact, to even take a step behind that and understand what system am I covered by. And Sally, if you can, you know, work with me for a moment. So there's basically a federal system in Australia and there's a state system in Australia. And about 2010, the federal or the Fair Work Act, which most people will have heard of, came into being. And that really changed the industrial relations arena in Australia because it meant that most employees were now going to be covered by the federal system. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, we had lots of different state awards and state systems in every state and territory. Plus, we had federal awards as well. And so it was really confusing for employers as to what actually is the minimum that I should be paying. So there is still a state system in Western Australia and in most states that exists, but it really doesn't cover very many people. So the first test is, am I covered by the federal system? And to be covered by the federal system, you need to be a constitutional corporation. So that's typically a PTY LTD company, and you need to be a trading entity. Mm-hmm. So what does that actually mean? Well, so if you have a not-for-profit organisation, say such as the Good Samaritans or the South Asian Army, I can't absolutely guarantee what award they're covered by, but what I can say to you is if they are actually trading, if they are selling goods, if they are selling services for money, then they will probably be covered by the federal system. Whereas a not-for-profit that purely provides a service free based on certain criteria, they may not be covered by the federal system. They'll be covered by the state system.
Okay.
The other key sort of differentiation is a partnership. So if you're in a partnership organisation employed by a partnership, you're typically covered by the state system in Western Australia. Everyone else is typically covered by the federal system.
Okay, so no one's going to phone you up and tell you there's been changes.
No.
It's up to you. The onus is on you, basically.
Correct. Exactly, Sally.
Okay. Mm. So is it important to have a business manager, a business consultant, someone regularly coming in, checking in and letting you know?
Look, I think it probably doesn't even need to be regularly. I think you need to just ask the question right up front. You know, if you're setting up a business or even if you've had a business going for a while, to just make sure that you are absolutely clear what your platform is.
Okay.
and that probably does require someone with some information, whether it be a lawyer, whether it be a business consultant. You can ring Fair Work, but they're not obliged or they will not give you any legal advice. So if you're very obviously covered by a particular award, they will tell you that. But if you're, you know, we've got one client that works in the photography industry and it's a bit unclear whether they're covered by the photography industry award or the graphics industry award, and there's other media-based awards, so it's a bit unclear for them. So we've actually said to them, we think you should get a legal ruling.
Mm. Okay. So, yeah. So then that sets a precedence for...
Correct. You know. And then they've got something to fall back on. So then if something does go wrong, they can say, well, hang on a minute, we paid good money and we got this ruling, so that's what we're working on.
Right.
So there's a backup.
So what do we do when there is a wage increase?
So when there's a wage increase, so first of all, make sure you know what awards you're covered by. And then that wage increase, the certainly the Fair Work Act and the Fair Work Ombudsman, the information on those sites is very, very good for the wage increases. And there's really good sort of short summaries on those websites and in the state system as well. To indicate, so if you know what award you're covered by, you can basically look up that award and find out what the new minimum rates are.
Okay, so it's as easy as that.
It is as easy as that once you know the system you're under.
Okay.
I guess the one little thing that I will point out there is, okay, so most people assume that they're covered, assume that they're working and paying the minimum rate, which is great.
Mm.
There is a slight caveat on that. The minimum rate applies in the federal system for a 38-hour week, and it applies for Monday to Friday work, typically. And it applies, so that doesn't include any overtime or Saturdays or Sundays, and it doesn't include if your staff all work a 40-hour week. And it also assumes that you pay leave loading, and most awards, if you're covered by an award, most awards still provide that 17.5% leave loading.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not doing all of those things, or rather if you are, you know, maybe getting people to work the odd Saturday or maybe not paying leave loading, that minimum rate needs to be a bit higher to cover those allowances and penalties.
So let's talk about penalties and, you know, holiday pay and those kinds of things.
Mm.
What's the deal with that? Can you roll that over?
In terms of... So
if you've been with an employer, let's say, 5 years,
yep,
and you've got, you know, quite a bit of holiday pay,
yep,
up your sleeve,
yep,
are you required to take that time or can you just keep accumulating?
You can keep accumulating it. Your employer, there's an onus on the employer and there's an onus on the employee. So on the employer's side, they are typically not going to want you to keep amassing leave, because then when you actually, you know, resign from the business or are terminated from the business, there's a huge amount to pay. And of course, potentially in that time, your salary is going up as well. So it's at a higher rate and you should be paid that leave loading as well, mm-hmm, if you're covered by an award. So really, you know, most employers will have a process in place by which they encourage staff to take leave within the year. So if you've sort of amassed 5 years' worth of leave and haven't been able to take leave, you know, my first recommendation to employers would be to encourage people to start to set up a bit of a plan as to how they might use that leave. The other option for the employer and the employee, it has to be mutually agreed, is for them to cash out some of that leave. And so there's an ability to do that. And most awards provide an ability to do that.
Right.
There are some minimums. You must have 4 weeks typically still available so that you're not using up all your leave. And, you know, some employees are really keen to do that. They might have a particular thing that they want to sort of pay for or something. And some employers are really happy to let them do that. But others would prefer them to take the leave. So it's a mutual agreement.
Is there any instance where if you left that employer, you would be forfeiting your leave that you haven't taken?
No, there has been situations with serious misconduct where you might not be paid your leave, but you are entitled to be paid for all your entitlements when you, even in a situation of gross misconduct or serious misconduct, mm-hmm, termination under that arrangement. So yeah, no, typically you're entitled to all of those. That's the paid annual leave. You're not entitled to any sick leave payment.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have mentioned the onus is on the employer, but also the employee. So how important is it for you to understand that employment contract?
Yeah, look, really important. I think generally employees are a lot more savvy, a lot more aware of what their rights are and their entitlements. And certainly I think it's a really good thing that the Fair Work Ombudsman and similar state bodies, West Australian Industrial Relations Commission, are very accessible for employees, and people can ring and ask, you know, make basic queries or, you know, more complex queries to sort of find out, you know, what am I entitled to? Has the right thing been done for me or by me? So, yeah, it's absolutely the employee's responsibility as well to know what they're getting into. Now, I'm not suggesting that they should that an employer should try and pull the wool over the employee's eyes, but there's an onus. It's a two-way relationship, and it's got to work both ways. Both people have to come into the relationship with a positive approach and with the aim to do the right thing by the other person.
Mm. When was the last time we did have an increase in the minimum wage?
The minimum wage increased on the 1st of July for federal and for state, in fact. Mm-hmm. 1st of July, or first pay period on or after 1st of July, so you don't actually have to sort of break your pay period if, you know, I think what the first this year was actually on the weekend, so it probably did work. But, yeah, it's the first pay period on or after the 1st of July. And that's typically when the national wage case is determined each year. Mm-hmm. So that affects all of our federal awards, and then typically the state follows suit.
So federally, what are we talking about?
So federally, it went up to... Sorry, I'm just going to refer to my notes. It went up by 3.3%. So the base minimum rate for... an adult 21 years old and over is $694.90. So that actually went up $22 federally. So here's the interesting thing, which comes back to this, which system am I covered by? Mm-hmm. From a state point of view, the state minimum wage is actually $708.90. So it's actually higher. Mm. And it actually only went up $16 a week because our wages were generally a little bit more inflated. And for anyone that's paid over $791.90, it actually only went up 2.3%. So Can you kind of see what I mean by the confusion that can exist if you're not really sure what you're covered by? So you need to start with what system am I in, federal or state, and then what award am I covered by?
It can be a tricky thing to approach an employer about your wages.
Yeah.
If you know that this increase has recently come in.
Occurred.
And you notice you haven't been awarded that.
Yeah.
What's the process there?
Yeah. Look, I think first of all, check your facts.
Yep.
So I would certainly go to the relevant body, whether it be state or federal. And, you know, for most employers, they are going to be covered by a federal award. So, they're just as best to go to the Fair Work Ombudsman and either ring or look on the website and look up what should my minimum rate be. Mm-hmm. So that'd be the first thing I'd do is actually check, okay, I'm a qualified carpenter, or I'm work in retail, I've had this many years experience, so I'll look up that award, there's a retail industry award, and sort of kind of identify where I think I sit, mm-hmm. and then what I'm actually being, compare that to what I'm being paid. So that's where I would start. Mm-hmm. And then, look, it's never an easy conversation, Sally, you're absolutely right. I would, if I was an employee, I would make sure I have my facts, or at least what I think are the facts, and then I'd just ask to see the boss. Make a meeting. Don't just lob in there on Monday morning, with fists flying, and just sort of say, look, I'm just a bit concerned that might be a bit under. I'm sure it's not an intentional, but can we just have a? Could you have a look at this for me?
Yeah.
This is the research I've done, but look, understand if it's only just come through, could you have a look at this for me? Mm. And I think just ask the question in that sort of framework.
Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, give them the benefit of the doubt. It's literally only just come through this month. Mm. Just approach it gently rather than you are not paying me the correct amount, because I think that just starts fairly antagonistically.
Okay, so it does seem like a bit of a legal minefield working out what state, federal, how much the increase is and all of those kinds of things. But thank you so much for joining us on Business Women Australia's radio show. Heather Warner from WCA People and Culture Solutions, proud station sponsor.
Thanks, Sally.